The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Podcast, your destination for in-depth discussion and analysis of the Premier League. I'm Robbie Musto, he's Robbie Earn, and here are today's topics. Arsenal keep their narrow lead atop of the table after a convincing 3-0 win at home to Bournemouth. Erling Haaland heats up at the right time for Manchester City and fires in four goals in a 5-1 win against Wolves. And Liverpool deliver a statement 4-2 win over Tottenham and Jurgen Klopp's penultimate match at Anfield. That's what we've got coming up in today's episode.
Well, you know, Musty, before we get started, I want to remind you that the Paris Olympics is coming up this summer and Pro Soccer Talk's Joe Prince Wright, our buddy, is into the top three of his countdown of the top 10 moments in Olympic soccer history. This week at number three is the US Women's National Team epic semi-final victory over Canada in London. Remember that in the London 2012 Games. Head to nbcsports.com/soccer to watch the US Women's National Team rally three times at Old Trafford to reach the gold medal match. And also stay tuned for moment number two that's coming up this Thursday. But, my friend, before we get to the football, we have to talk racing. We have to talk the Derby. And we have to talk Churchill Downs, 150th running of the Kentucky Derby. And what a great occasion,
mate. I think we had the best time, didn't we? We had the best time.
We probably had, as good a time. The new paddock, they spent something like £200 million in that area. We were right centre. I mean, we couldn't have had a better spot, could we?
Yeah, great spot. And the atmosphere was good, wasn't it? And, and they're all dressing up for ladies. Well, every day they dressed up amazingly well.
Yeah.
And one of the things is the amount of football fans.
It had a crossover, incredible.
Like a fan fest vibe about it, where our set was right in between the race goers, and they're all having a drink. They all want to talk football, say hi, and have photographs and all that. So that's we love that, going out and meeting people. But the venue was spectacular. You know, the games have been good watching it, but and picking horses, mate.
It's easier for some of us than others. It would seem.
Well, we had a little experiment. I was gonna go for the favourites, thinking it's always good to have one of the favourites because you know you're going to be shouting. It should be there or thereabouts, and you were going to go more with the name kind of idea.
Yeah, a name or a number or some kind of attraction that took you to it. And
the results are in.
The results are in, and it would seem. Data.
Don't back favourites.
Don't back favourites. Data is before. It's interesting, Musty, because the Kentucky Derby is a unique place. It's a brilliant occasion. And I'm just trying to think for some of our viewers and listeners who maybe are in the UK, what would be the equivalent? Are we talking like Epsom Downs? Are we talking Royal Ascot? Are we talking the Grand National, the Aintree?
I don't think Aintree, the Grand National, but it's the race that everybody wants to have a bet on. Now, it's different because the Grand National in the UK is these huge hurdles that these horses have to jump over.
And it's like an absolute test
of stamina and everything else to get to the finish, let alone win it. Red Rum used to be the famous. And there's Cheltenham races, there's the Gold Cup, and there's a ton of great racing in the UK, it really is. But the venue, Rob, the Twin Spires, and the... And when we flew out, because we had to get back to Connecticut to do the Sunday show, we went right over Churchill Downs. It was such a cool in our plane, obviously, and it's such a cool sight to see that place was packed out. That's for the Derby because we had to get out of there before the Derby.
That was when we were in our private jet, wasn't it? Do you remember the private jet that we took
that they put on for us to get us back at ASAP. Yeah.
Okay, let's get to football, mate. We're not quite private jets, not yet. Anyway. Okay, let's start off the football chat. Let's start with Arsenal, because this title race now, and it looks as though Liverpool have dropped out and you know, like going to be third place. But in terms of who plays first, now everybody's talking about, is there an advantage playing first, get your points, or is it advantage playing first? Arsenal hosted Bournemouth. We know it's a Bournemouth team that were mid-table, but playing particularly well under Iriola, and their form's been excellent, Rob, since the turn of the year. So I think everybody felt there's a little bit of danger in this game. Whether you fancied Arsenal or not, they'd have to kind of earn the right to get the result. It was a little bit nervy for periods, Rob, I think, yeah. as the chances came, but they got the job done, and in the end, they got the job done well.
I just think Arsenal, right now, Rob, are about as good as they've ever been. Well, not ever been, but for a long period of time, particularly under the manager.
Yeah.
I had no concerns that even after the first 20 minutes or so...
Yeah, we saw like four or five chances, didn't
we? Yeah, and I still felt they got in behind Bournemouth so many times, and the shots weren't quite right, and Bournemouth were doing everything that teams that are fresh...
Yeah,
they were throwing themselves in front and blocking the ball. The goalkeeper was making saves, and I'm thinking they can't continue with that. And then, you know, oftentimes a team breaks in the last few minutes of first half and the last few minutes of the game because the tide sets in before they get a break at half time. Yeah. That's exactly what happened. Again, like just the performances of certain players are outstanding to me. And Leandro Trossard was a decision the manager made probably a few weeks ago to play him on the left instead of Martinelli.
Yeah.
And what's he got now, Rob? Is that 11? I think it's 11 Premier League goals.
11
now
that
Trossard's got there. Mm. Lovely assist from Declan Rice, who had another monster game. So I thought there was three kind of parts to this. Trossard's decision to play him on the left scores another goal.
Yeah.
Kai Havertz. Now, which will... Okay, so... So he's fit. The more he plays as a number nine, right... The better, more comfortable, and more effective he looks.
Hello.
Now, I don't want to go into that, you know, all that stuff, because
that doesn't look quite so good for me. It's a bit like the racing. I've won that, so go on then.
All right, then. But my point was going to be, I heard him described once as a 9.5.
Mm.
Not a 9 and a 10, and this false 9 is a new term.
Yeah.
What I liked about this performance, and we've seen it a few times now, not only does he know when to drop in to
outnumber in midfield and build up the play.
Keep it simple. Yeah. He's technically very good.
Yeah, he is.
But he makes a lot of runs in behind as well. So so that's like a 9.
Yeah.
So he does play like a 9 a lot, and he comes in to play like a 10 a lot as well. Yeah. So I was impressed with that. It leads to the first goal, the penalty kick, of course, where he drags his foot, Robbio. Let's just have a little pause there, because when we saw it and when I saw it, I saw a goalkeeper slide in with that leading foot, nowhere near the ball. He slides across the path of the forward Havertz, and Havertz obviously keeps his left foot low.
Yeah, because, make sure there's contact,
because the stride wasn't quite where it could have been for it to be a direct contact. Do you know what I mean, Rob?
He could have missed the contact if he'd taken
If
the stride pattern was different and more, probably more normal, he would have not had contact.
Yeah, but
so he left his foot down. He didn't bring his foot up so that the contact was made. Now,
this is
really
interesting.
Yeah, it's really interesting, because I remember hearing... sorry, just to jump in. Yeah. Gary Lineker... We had on the show a couple of weeks ago, and I remember speaking with Gary a few years ago. We were chatting about something, and he said, if a goalkeeper comes out and makes that rash decision and can hit me, I'm going to let him hit me. He shouldn't be coming if he's not going to make the ball. So from a forward's point of view, it's almost like, well, if I'm going to leave my leg there, if you want to hit it, hit it.
Even though the leg was left in a manufactured
Correct.
Way.
I'm just saying, and I don't want to put words in Gary's mouth, and I'm sure, but I would think he would feel that that's half decent attacking play.
Yeah.
Now, you know, I can say, I thought it was one of those, Rob, where I the more I saw it, the less I thought it was a penalty. But I'm thinking, the moment it's given, it's not going to be overturned because there's contact.
Yes.
And it's, again, and I hate this phrase because it's now become, it's a modern penalty kick. It's a modern, in the current structure of rules and the VAR and the way that the game is administered, that is going to be a penalty kick more times than not.
Yeah, and for me, it was just the most to come to slide across the path of a player.
Yeah.
I'm sure I can remember a conversation with a referee. Maybe was it Mark Clattenburg, you know, when he came in and worked with us a little bit? But there was something about if you take the path of a player, even if you don't make contact, and the rules is a foul is a trip or an attempted trip. Mm-hmm. And you could argue that he slid across the path of the player attempting to trip him. I mean, Havertz just made sure there was contact by keeping the foot low.
Yeah.
I'm with you. It wasn't enough for a clear and obvious error. Maybe if it wasn't given, maybe we'd be sitting here and thinking, well, he did it, just hang his leg there. So it's one of those, right?
Yeah,
and there's lots of them, and people would be on different sides of this.
Yeah.
But if you want to know where I am, I still think that was a right call initially to give the penalty. And from there on, And the other person we're going to get to is Declan Rice, Rob, man of the match on the day.
Yeah.
Scores a goal late with the power and the energy to make that box run with this number eight position. Another Arteta decision to bring in somebody different and let Rice play
Thomas Partey.
The Havertz didn't work number eight left role. So I'll have that about Havertz, that he didn't work as a number eight, but he's working as a centre forward. Mm-hmm. But Rice doing it, it's pretty good, isn't it? He had an amazing game.
He's a different class, mate. He's... So, picking up on your points, I would say... The difference between Arsenal of last season and Arsenal of this season was, and to your point about the football and the chances, they were missing chances, but it didn't look like it affected them. I think last year, they'd have got a bit uptight, oh, we're missing chances. I always thought they were going to win the game, Rob.
Yeah.
And that's the maturity that the team have got, that Declan Rice brings, that is the way they play. Mikel Arteta deserves a lot of credit for that because he's moving this group on. Whether or not they're going to be good enough to win it this year or not is down to the brilliance of Manchester City. Mm. But this club is moving on and being developed. And if they buy the right type of players again in the summer, Rob, they're going to be vying for it again. But I just want to go back a little bit on the Kai Havertz, and I don't want to do the Kai Havertz thing because we kind of that's been done. But just in terms of some football teams, and I'm going to say. Arsenal could be one of these teams, and I just want to throw this out there. Some teams are better not having a main centre-forward who you build everything around and he gets his 25 goals and everyone else gets 6, 7 or 8. And I think Arsenal are a better footballing team and having the Havertz who can be part of that football build-up and controlling possession than the guy who sits at the top end of the pitch and scores goals. Now, it's really interesting because there's talk that, are they going to go? And Osherman's being talked about, and Isak's being mentioned,
Tony
being mentioned. I'm just a little bit fearful that if that player doesn't come in and be able to be part of the build-up, Rob, might take a little something away from Arsenal.
That's a good point. It's a really good point. Because the way the team is built, and again, we don't want to go on too much about it. Declan Rice got 7 Premier League goals.
Yeah, yeah.
Martin Odegaard, who, by the way, is a player that I definitely want to mention. He's like a blooming band conductor. He conducts everything in midfield. Absolutely silk on the ball, particularly in the first half. I thought he was outstanding. And you got the wide player scoring plenty of goals with his Trossard. Saka's got 15, I think, now. Has he got more than that? Maybe another one in that game. He scored the first goal, so he's got 16.
Could Jesus just give you that when you just want somebody to run further?
Maybe.
What
you're saying is that they shouldn't bring another striker in.
Don't rush.
You're okay between Havertz, Jesus, and Trossard sometimes as a false nine.
Yeah.
That's enough, is it?
And Martinelli to come in sometimes, or Trossard goes central, Martinelli goes wide.
I think it's really interesting. You don't want
I want that football. I don't want to change that football where we get a little bit one-dimensional.
Yeah. Last thing on Arsenal, can you remember when Liverpool went head-to-head with Manchester City? Was it just pre-COVID? They got 98 points and City won 99 points.
Yeah, yeah.
And the sense was that Liverpool getting closer and closer and closer.
The season before they won it.
Isn't that similar?
I mean, the season before they won it.
Right. So even if Arsenal don't win it...
Absolutely.
This is a very similar situation where they're growing, they're getting better, they're pushing them more and more and they're probably going to find a way to win at some point.
Yeah.
It could be this season, by the way.
Yeah, it's not done. They've got to win out, Rob. But seeing the Arsenal team with the two games they've got left, I can't see United
being away and Everton at home.
Yeah, I can see them winning both those games.
I can totally see them winning, really good.
Yeah, good stuff for Mikel Arteta.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So it was over to Manchester City. Could they slip up? I suppose, listen, every time Man City play, Rob, and we sometimes are part of it, we look at the opposition and say, OK, there's got to be a twist in the four games for City and the three games for Arsenal. So we look at Wolves and think, OK, where's the twist? Hee Chong Wang and Cunha are good players who can hit you on the counter-attack. Gary O'Neill's a very clever coach who sets his team up and they do this jump where they get turnovers and could they hurt City? For all those things, Rob, and for all the stand-up arguments that people have, Manchester City blasted past Wolves.
They did.
They blasted past them, mate.
I thought they got a little fortunate with the penalty, Rob, Gvardiol. They're both genuinely challenging for the ball at the same time. Gvardiol gets there first, so you have I just feel for defenders.
Yeah. If you don't get the ball clearly...
And Aitken, it's another one of those, Robbie. Yeah. He doesn't see him, and I know that's not an excuse, but he just tries to clear the ball away, and the player comes in. Anyway, it was given. It was never going to get taken back because it's not clear and obvious error, but the referee points the spot, and then Haaland scores, and then, there's a little bit... I thought Wolves had a period of playing a little bit of football.
Yeah.
So, as soon as the second goal goes in for Man City, and then you know that Wolves have got to get two to take points off of them, then you know it's not going to happen, and... City then go; they can go into different gears.
Well, the big lad then comes his own, doesn't he? I mean, the header, Rob, is like magnificent. Yeah. Probably only him in the league can score that.
Remember Ronaldo scored a header?
When his body's above
the one, so high. Yeah. And he just looked.
He looks hungry. Yeah. He looks sharp again. He looks like he didn't want to come off. He's got four goals. He doesn't want to come off. He's got 25 Premier League goals. Where everyone's saying not a great season for him. And I don't see them dropping points, Rob. I've got to be honest, and I know that's not going to have the drama, and that's not going to be... I just don't see this team dropping any points.
Fulham away, why wouldn't they win that?
Yeah.
And let's just obviously know that there's pretty much nobody injured, is there? Edison was okay.
Yeah,
these are players that were in doubt. Phil Foden was a doubt with illness, was fine. Ruben Diaz, maybe Ruben Diaz had an illness. So he's got all his options available. His holding players, his attacking players, his wingers.
He can bring Doku.
I mean, it's kind of crazy. So Fulham away, Tottenham away on the Tuesday, Rob. No, we'll get to Tottenham and Liverpool.
Yeah.
The last game is West Ham United at home.
Yeah.
It's the Tuesday that would look like the hardest game. That being said, we'll get on to Spurs.
It's not the hardest game. They play, mate. Not with that high line. Not with Man City's dominance and time. Got to time one run in behind, and then you threw one-on-one with the goalkeeper.
Yeah. I'm with you. I can't see particularly how they are right now. And going for this fourth title on the spin. Never been done top flight.
I mean, he wants history, Pep. And I know he's got his treble. He's got his 100 points. I think it's 106 goals. He wants to leave English football with the man who's created history in our game. There's no other team in the history of English football that's won four top-class titles on their own.
Is there anything else for him to do?
Well, I read a really interesting article in one of the broadsheets, or it might have been The Athletic, and it was quite a detailed piece, Rob, and it was kind of saying, and again, I certainly don't know if this is true or not, that if he does get the four, is that kind of where else is there to go? Is there five? Does five make that much difference than four because now he's got the history? Does he go for another Champions League? Or at some point does Pep go like, my work is done?
A little bit. I mean, could he try and get City more Premier League titles to start catching the Red Uniteds and the Liverpools? I mean, that's a long way off. They're a long way off that. I don't know.
And the other thing just on that, Robin, we did touch on it today, and I just want to go there with you because we were talking about managers today. I'm sure you and I am when we talk about Villa in a minute. I wrote a note about Pep, Rob, that the hunger, drive and the total commitment of football is so huge with these guys. Like, Jurgen Klopp's decided for his health and he needs a year off. Right. You know, I look at Pep and think, it must be taking its toll. You know, somewhere, somehow, whether it's health, whether it's mentality, whether it's just getting up every morning and going to the ground and being the guy, to drive these group of players in the way he's done, it must be somehow taking its toll.
Obsession. Was it John Champion talking about in commentary? Somebody said, one of the games today, there was talk about, I think it was actually about Roberto De Zerbi, about that he's obsessed with the game. Mm. He's absolutely obsessed with it. Every minute of every day is, and I can kind of believe that from De Zerbi. Mm. And Pep is another one, Rob. And I don't know how that drive keeps going. And when, you know, Jurgen Klopp has obviously felt like I'm losing energy and I'm an energy manager and I'm not the right guy because I'm losing that energy. I mean, Pep's offered. He looks exhausted.
He must hate
doing press conferences, doesn't he? Yeah. You've got to do them before every game and after every game.
Was it Barcelona he took a year off, didn't he? And came to a place like New York and that, and took a time. And then he went into Bayern. Does it come in? I don't know, 7, 8, 9, 10 year slots where
I
you
think
have to
Barcelona
go.
Barcelona might have been a little bit different. I remember covering his club from player to coach and to manager.
This is his club,
Messi.
Really, though, isn't it?
Yeah,
isn't Manchester City
becoming
his
club? There's a
little
bit more pressure on him personally for that, you know, the Real Madrid, you know, rivalry. But I don't know.
Let me ask you another one, Rob. And you know, I know you will give me an honest, straight answer. If you were Pep and you get four, and you know. Might you think about, you know, you don't want to lose the next one or finish third 1 year and have a little bit off you, like Liverpool have done, and that's fine because that's human nature. Might you just go,
my work here is done?
Yeah.
I would think very possibly. He might argue, and I think he said before, I have it perfect here. I've got everything that I want. Mm. I have a great board, the former higher-ups at Barcelona running it, the director of football, Pagirstein and Soriano. Mm. They obviously have money to bring in some of the best players. We've been to the training facilities. Yeah, incredible. It may be that he thinks it's as good as it gets. Mm. But to go back to your question, I would think so. Mm. Given what he's done in different countries, doesn't he want to continue that and go somewhere else and prove himself, you know, Italy will...
We go back to that question, don't we? You know, will Pep change the Premier League or will the Premier League change Pep? I mean,
he's changed English football...
Forever.
Forever, in so many different ways. We ain't got time to get into now with style of play and with different positions, etc.
We'll do a pod on Pep when that time is. But let's not end it at the moment. They've still got work to do.
They have, you're right.
Still
got to
finish it off.
Yeah. But this was no problem. 5-1.
Let's talk about the other big game this weekend. It was at Anfield, it was Liverpool, it was the penultimate, and somebody actually, I think, explained to Jurgen Klopp what penultimate meant, but obviously, last home game, great scenes. I know we just played You'll Never Walk Alone and let it play out today. I thought it was really well done, and you saw what the club means, the emotions to Klopp. Then Liverpool got down to business, ended up going 4 goals ahead, and then... sort of Spurs came back into thing, made a few changes. Liverpool maybe got a little bit sloppy. We ended up with a 4-2, which I said is almost like a very Jurgen Klopp scoreline. Mm. What's your takeaway from Anfield?
All right, so first takeaway is Mo Salah. Okay? Mm. Now, obviously, there was a spat on the sideline.
Yeah.
Very angry with his manager, and they made up, apparently, according to Jurgen Klopp. He was a different human being today. Now, I don't know what's happened over the last few weeks, Rob. I really don't know. Things were off.
Yeah.
It kind of culminated in that little spat on the sideline. Mm. But Mo Salah's form and body language hasn't been great. And there's no bigger, better fans than us two of this guy over the years. But he just was really off his game, off his sharpness, off his desire, determination. And that all was back today. I mean, Spurs did a pretty good job of giving him some space to play. But Mo Salah is one of the stories today. His sharpness... Is even the first couple of chances, Rob, he goes through. Remember the one he went through with his right foot? He looks like he's really trying to find that far corner with it. So I thought he was the number one story of Liverpool's performance today. I mean, Jurgen Klopp's presser, he said, I just want us to play good football. Yeah. Play our stuff. Play our football. Let's get back into our attacking groove, which they did. Harvey Elliott's performance, Rob, as a 21-year-old midfield player. We've seen over the last year or so him come into the side and a little rest now and again, do some great moments, have some quiet games, have a little rest, come back in. We got to remember that these players, and we've seen it at Arsenal before our very eyes, these young players do get better with time and with reps and great managers.
Foden's a great example of that.
Yes. Yeah. So Harvey Elliott's goal is a special strike, Rob, into the top corner. Yeah. I thought those two players, for me, were the ones that I remember this game from, I think, for those two.
Yeah. Again, I thought it was almost a game that shows the good parts of Liverpool and what Arne Slot, obviously once he's officially announced, is taking on. I thought it showed the areas that there's still work to be done, defensively at times. Sometimes that can get a little bit sloppy and turn the ball over, and Spurs weren't able to make the most of that, even though they got a couple of goals. But in the main, I think there's a lot of good parts of this Liverpool team. You're not far off that's not far off of being able to compete.
And it'd be really interesting with Arne Slot, right?
Yeah.
With this group in a slightly different philosophy.
Correct.
Right? A little bit different, because it ain't going to be the same. It's just not. You know, he's got decisions to make, the manager, about who he plays in midfield. Is he with three in midfield, two in midfield? You're going to play number 10, you're going to play number 8, you're going to play wide players, you're going to play... I think we know it's going to be 4 at the back from what he's done before.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
The sense is it's a similar pressing, high-energetic football. But, you know, how does he motivate? Does he want slow football at times where Jurgen Klopp kind of does best with the quicker stuff for the most part?
Could he also come in and just go... And it's interesting because you mentioned Harvey Elliott, and I was going to say, could Arne Slot come in and see Harvey Elliott and go... You're playing in my team, son. Could he come in and see it with different eyes and not
be... Well, you've got Szoboszlai.
Yeah.
You know, got Curtis Jones, who's had a good first half of the season,
Gravenberg.
Particularly. Gravenberg, who's looked a little bit brighter. I don't know whether Endo's got a big future there, Rob. I still, and he's done great.
Yeah,
you want something a bit more of a presence, possibly, in that role.
More physicality.
Maybe.
And the thing is, he's going to know few players who he's probably want to bring in, who he's played against or he's managed and those things.
You've got your fullbacks in Trent, and you've got Robertson who scored a goal today, Van Dijk. Mm. We don't really know what he feels like the future, but there's plenty of good bits there. Mm. But I just, you know, in some ways I think it's good to see Anfield.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, maybe, you know, because of what's happening, you know. I think
we're less about this kind of, well, they haven't won the title, well, it's not going to be so... I think you have to look at the whole piece with Liverpool and what he's done and what's achieved. And of course, listen, if they were in a title race now, and that it would have been brilliant scenes and it would have been different and there'd been an edge. But to finish third with this group of players in his second revolution at the football club, it's still an outstanding job.
You said it, Rob, today on our air, and you said that they ain't quite where they want to be.
No.
And that's exactly right. Arsenal are where they want to be.
Yeah.
They are excellent. They look like winning every single game. They had a couple of mistakes, the Villa game and maybe the Man City away. Mm. I mean, it's just very difficult going up against Man City, but they're not quite there. But given the changes and the announcement and everything else, it probably is the time for a change.
Yeah.
And bring somebody else in with a good squad. I mean, Jurgen Klopp, what an amazing job of trying to build another team that maybe isn't quite there yet, but the parts are there, the age is good, there's a few decisions.
Yeah, we've seen those kids in the League Cup, wasn't it, the other time, there's a group of them kids coming, so... Right, let's have a quick chat about Spurs, because, you know, they've been on the spotlight a little bit. Mm. I think it's 4 straight defeats in the Premier League now. Yeah. Again, I'm not going to focus too much on just this last period. I want to look at the season's work for Ange. And I think overall, they're probably slightly ahead of where I thought they'd be. When you think of Newcastle, when you think of Man United, when you think of Chelsea, when you think of teams who were below them in the league, there's many good things. I thought he said a really interesting thing today, Rob, when he said he was pleased that we got back to the football and the way we played, because he hasn't seen that of late. He's going to play and win or lose games a certain way. But as long as people are doing that, I think he's okay with it. It's when they go away from that, Rob.
Yeah, but even... All right, then. So if he was happy today that the way they tried to play, they were down 4-0.
Yeah, I know.
And You know, I know, and I'm certainly one to look at the season as a whole, and where they are right now, it's above and beyond what we expected, given all the changes, and the new manager, philosophy, and all that. And that's real, by the way, and Harry Kane leaving, and a totally different, and new signings, etc. If I'm a Spurs fan, I am a little concerned over the recent stuff, and the recent performances, and I said it, and I'll say the last 4 games you said about the four losses on a spin. Well, they're all good teams.
Yeah.
Liverpool got
4
against them. Chelsea got 2 against them. Arsenal got 3 against them. Newcastle United got 4 against them. Now, I know how he wants to play, and I know when that football is great, right? If you're playing against that football, you get forced back, and you don't get many opportunities.
Yeah.
But if that football isn't good, and it's more of a, oh, we have it, you have it, they look so short defensively because of the way that they're expanded out while trying to possess. So I know the answer he's not going to change his philosophy.
No.
So, you know, it looks better at 4-2, but you were more concerned than me about how open they look defensively.
I still am concerned, but I'm saying what I like is that he's got a certain way of playing. When they play good teams and they play the way they are, they're not as good as Liverpool. Today, they weren't as good as Liverpool. Liverpool were way more better than them in the attacking third. Way better than them in the attacking third. Their football, Rob, wasn't bad. Their bits to get into 30 yards from goal is quite good.
Until late, Richarlison came on.
And he looked a little bit nets. But those parts I'm okay with. But what I'm saying is, like, they went 10 straight games at the start of the season, 8 wins and 2 draws. Now it's like 4 draws. Like, I'm not going to have a downer just because they've lost the last 4 games. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, I mean, even before that, I mean, they've only...
But this group of players, Rob, in reality, if you put them against other group of players, they're not quite as good.
I always say that you want to see progression.
Yeah.
Now, given this kind of drop-off now, if they start next year, Rob, and it's a similar... Is that that's
what? So, oh, start as it?
Yeah,
start, I mean, like, they finish.
You expect with more time, right?
Correct.
And these new players, that it should kind of feel better as the season goes on.
That's a good point.
Is a bit of a backward step.
Well, it's a good point, to the point, like, this is Angie's first season.
I know it is.
So I'm saying, and let's mark it against Klopp's last season. They're both not quite where they want to be, but there's enough good parts in Spurs to be quite looking to the future and thinking we've got a chance. But these bad parts of Spurs that need to be addressed.
Yeah.
I think player-wise, I think he's going to be more ruthless in the summer with some of these players because he knows what he wants.
He said
he's got the profile of player that he wants. And if you're not that profile, you can't play his way, so the team suffers.
Yeah. Just on terms of building, because he's all about building.
Yeah,
You know, he talked about it, like, it's important for him to progress.
Yeah.
The first season, I think, with the Jurgen Klopp at Liverpool was worse than this.
Yeah.
I think the first season with Mikel Arteta at Arsenal was worse.
Pep didn't have a great first year. Yeah. Had a look at the league.
So given that kind of context, you know, where they are right now, and again, I am too much waiting the last few performances. You just feel the longer he's there, it should kind of steadily get better. But no, as a whole, for the first season, and it should be allowed plenty of time to grow, progress.
Yeah.
And he's had 2 windows, there'll be another window where there'll be changes.
I think it's like the manager, Dan Levy, he's going to give him. Let's just finally, just on closing on this one, let's just have a quick thought on. So there was a certain incident, Rob, at half-time. 2 players were going off, Romero and Emerson Royal. Apparently there was, you know, words being said between the two, whether they went face-to-face or whatever. Vicario, the goalkeeper, comes running over, gets between them, sort of pushes them to a side, and they get in at half-time. Now, I believe certain people in the press picked this up and they've said, oh, you know, they're fighting and blah, blah, blah. Andrew was asked about it after the game and pretty much in his very laid-back Australian way said, happens, they cared, don't mind it, you know, move on.
Yeah.
You know, we were asked, Paul Burmeister today was hosting the show and asked us, like, as players, how did you feel?
Yeah, or do we want to put it in the highlights? Do we make a big thing of it?
It's a big, I could dare say, if we looked at a lot of games and had that kind of deal, you could be putting that in most weeks. Most games I played, as you're walking off, I might be having a row with the fullback who hasn't done well. I might be saying to the winger, get the ball in. They might be telling me I'm not tracking my runner. Those kind of confrontations happen. You get in the dressing room, you sort it out, and you get out second half, and it's gone.
I'll tell you a couple of things, right? My biggest ever lesson, when I was a young player, Oxford United, I had an experienced player called Bobby McDonald. Been all around the block.
Left back, played for Man City.
Yeah. I played ahead of him, left midfielder, ahead of him one game at home, at the Manor Ground, long time ago, small ground, and I didn't track a runner. He absolutely ripped me apart verbally. Mm. Like, I'm a young kid, like 18 or 19 years of age. Of all the things that in my career after and good moments, the bollockings, if I can say that, stay with you. And you learn from it. I'll tell you what, I never, ever not tracked a runner again.
Yeah.
And just, you know, even more recent times, I remember playing with Paul Ince. Ince, he was a Man United Liverpool player, brilliant player, played for England. Every single game, he flipping, any time I had a bad touch or a bad anything, he was all over
standards,
me. And there'd be times where I'm like, I give it him back. I'm like, what? You know, you have rows.
Yeah.
Number one, I know why he was doing it. Mm. He was doing it for his own game.
Yeah,
he
liked him
to be fired
to get
up
him,
and,
yeah,
and start
yeah.
getting some yeah. reaction from players. Mm. And he knows he's not going to do anything to he's going to try and fire up the teammates around
Correct.
Him.
Yeah.
So when two players, and it wasn't even much, by the way. And if they care about it, and he might have said to him, well, why didn't you track your runner?
Yeah.
Why did you try and play offside?
Yeah, yeah,
or why did you get caught on the ball? And he's going to react back to it. So,
and you saw sometimes, and you're 100%, sometimes that's how things have to be sorted on a football pitch. You haven't got time to have a sit-down discussion now 10 minutes.
Yeah, it's well
like
done,
you,
well
yeah,
done.
Like, yeah, you
I learned from that the hammering that I got, and that's going to happen throughout. Yeah. And that's in life.
Mm.
You learn harsh lessons, and professional football is an environment where... You know, you've got to grow a thick skin and you've got to take responsibility.
And
you've got
Spurs
to take
are a team who have to learn their lessons, mate, because they do make individual mistakes that end up costing the team.
Yeah.
So I just thought it was a good point to make just based on some of the pictures that we saw today, and not sure how much social media's picked up on that.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
It's officially grilling season at the Home Depot. So don't miss Memorial Day savings on grills happening now, so you can celebrate with a backyard barbecue for the whole block. Step up your grill game and serve up a feast with the Next Grill 4-Burner Gas Grill, with durability to last summer after summer. On special buy, only $199. Get ready for a whole summer of entertaining at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Okay, my friend, let's get to some of the other results this weekend and some important games, some important stories. I'm going to start you at Stamford Bridge. I'm going to start you at Chelsea-West Ham. It's a big derby, this. I lived in London. Chelsea play West Ham. The two teams don't like each other. This is a big derby for the fans. Forget everything
the
else.
The teams don't like Chelsea.
Well, because of the money and the Kings Road and all this.
Yeah.
In a London derby. Anyway. Chelsea just come off a good run win against Spurs midweek.
Yep.
And win 5-0, Rob. And it was I ended up watching this game in the window. It was as one-sided as you could wish. West Ham were probably as poor as I've seen them in
they've
a game
some,
this season.
They've had season.
And there's a lot of games where they've conceded fours and fives and that. But the games I've watched, it was poor as I've seen. The defending was shocking. Unlike a David Moyes team, I think they've conceded 70 goals now, which is incredible for David Moyes. To the point, Rob, where... I can't say I felt sorry for David Moyes, because that's not the right thing, but you've always said, and I did quote you on today, and forgive me if you didn't want me to say it, but you said there'll be a natural end for David Moyes in West Ham, and then we'll see it and we'll feel it. We're there, mate.
I'm sorry, we're there. I think we are. I just thought, I expect it to come next season. So it's come quicker than I thought.
Yeah.
You know, you look at, you think back to the last year and you're winning a European trophy. You see them in the top 10, Rob. Mm. You kind of like, okay, that's West Ham are doing all right.
Yeah.
They'll probably start with them again and sign his new contract. And if it doesn't work out, it will feel like it's coming to an end.
Yeah.
Well, I think through speculation, and let's get this right, Rob. If you take it as a whole club, and a whole club, I mean... The fan base, which is the most important part of any football club.
Yeah.
You've got the board and you've got the higher-ups and the directors and the owners, etc. I think the whole club is thinking, This has been good with David Moyes. Yeah. He's done an excellent job. They're going to be ninth again, Rob. He's three qualified European them for three European
they've
campaigns.
Won they've won, yeah, won
like,
the
really, really
league.
Good.
Yeah.
But I get a sense from the majority of the fan base, which then does go to the board of directors and the ownership.
Maybe
it's time to upgrade. Mm. And I know they've tried to do this before. Manuel Pellegrini, we remember this.
We want a
championship, I think, with Inter Man City. We want him to come in and play the silky football. It didn't work out. Had to be rescued again. Moyes comes back in. All I would say is now I feel like it's a better time to upgrade.
We're seeing the people who are available.
The current style of managers, European managers, it's a really open, attractive style.
The Iriola,
Blimenek, the De Zerbis,
Amorin.
You go round down the league. There's a lot, and I feel like it's a good time. Maybe for West Ham to find the guy that is going to be the right fit, that is going to play a better style of football, but that maybe is going to be more entertaining and it's going to fulfil the star players a little bit more than maybe what they have to grind out with Moyes a little bit. And again, there's no disrespect there, but it might be a good time. Now, getting the right guy is important, but we know what West Ham United's... first ever games at Upton Park and...
What a great job this is for somebody, by the way. Because they've got good players, mate. There's some good players there. Yes, they'll have to work. But and the thing I hope is that, Rob, that if it does come to the end, and it pretty much looks like it's going to be that way for David, did he get the respect that he deserves?
I totally agree.
There's a dignity about the way he's worked and what he's done at this football club.
Absolutely.
And do you know what? They shouldn't contrast what David Moyes did in his style and his play to the new guy. Somebody's coming in with new ideas, a new way, and has managed in a different era. And David Moyes should be allowed to have said his period of what he did was the best thing for West Ham. One of the most successful West Ham managers they've ever had in their history, Rob, with what he's done.
Do you know, let me ask you this question to finish us off, really.
Yeah.
In the past in the Premier League, we've seen managers that are on the sideline. We know Big Sam, Allardyce is one of those. Mm. Now, here's my question. Is David Moyes going to be one of those guys for a Premier League team that's not doing very well at some point?
No, you mean to come back in? Yeah.
To come back in.
Yeah.
Or are clubs now... Or will they go away from?
Have they moved
the,
on.
Moved on from the. I mean, put the fire out. What's the words I'm looking for?
Yeah, firefighter.
Firefighter, go in there to do the basics and to grind out something.
It's a good question, and the reason I would say I think I'm not sure we'll see David Moyes in the Premier League again is because the new sporting directors, Rob, who are coming in running football clubs, have now all linked to coaches, or linked to style, or linked to data, or linked to possession, or linked to numbers that aren't going to work for David Moyes. Is not going to come into
that. It's more of a educated appointment for the next manager than an owner. So
yeah, data led.
Get me
Big Al. Get me David Moyes. Get me Tony Pulis. He'll keep us up.
Yeah.
We've moved on. The game has moved on. Whether rightly or wrongly, we're gonna find out,
we'll
Rob. But it's definitely the current flavour. But it'll be sad if it doesn't end in a little bit of dignity for David Moyes, but not a good day for West Ham. Just a quick line on Chelsea, because I've got to do this. I'm sure my Chelsea fans. I think you mentioned the other day, Medawecki played today, Rob, on the right-hand side, with goal and assist. Mm. Nicholas Jackson cut the goals, runs were better. Mm. They played with a confidence, mate. Again, Cole Palmer, not necessarily the star, not totally involved in anything, got the first goal, of course. But there's a confidence is coming about Chelsea, mate. You look at them in a whole different light now.
It's so interesting. This is like an experiment. Mm. Because we said it from day one. This has never been done before. This amount of young players at the time. And it's an experiment to see, when you see a young player, first few games, half a dozen games, more is that it then? That's what it got, is it, Madueke? He's going to be a little bit in and out of the game. He's a little bit inconsistent. Does he work back? And this is what a good manager does. Yeah. He makes them better. And with the reps, I mean, don't we all agree that anything you do, the more times you do it, the more comfortable you get.
And Manueke,
even Nicholas Jackson.
Nicholas Jackson, 13 Premier League goals now, mate.
Yeah, and he could have had 26. But is there reps? These are young. They can really improve.
Yeah.
I'll never forget Arsene Wenger said that you got to wait until they're 23 years of age
and
you
kind of got what you're going to get.
They might obviously get experience.
I think he's not quite that yet. I think somewhere I read as well, Rob, this week, that his first-year numbers are not too dissimilar to Didier Drogba.
Yeah.
He came in the club and, you know, came from French football. And
It's really interesting.
Yeah.
And I'm a big fan of Pochettino, and I hope that...
Because
there's been talk, hasn't there, that he's not showing to stay on.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be crazy.
Yeah, I think it would be crazy.
OK, Brighton Villa, I know you watched this game. We'll quickly say that Villa weren't quite at it, were they? Olympiacos coming on Thursday. Your chance to close the gap in the Champions League and didn't really take it.
Either, I feel that they look tired. Mm. They've had a really long season, really good season, a long European campaign. Mm. And I feel like they're limping over the line a little bit, really, to the end of the season. Yeah. Or, like you're saying, it may be that they've got this game coming up. Mm. It's a big old game. Yeah. And he wants to do well to go all the way in this competition because they should be going all the way in it, given what they've got. And whether they can switch it back on again for Thursday. Brighton are good, and they haven't
back
been good.
Back to a little bit more zip.
Those young players, they've got all over the front line, young players. Yeah. Simon Adingra, right? Now, we've been so blimmin'
busy
this
week.
We're not doing
underappreciated
or whatever, but we've probably had him before.
Yeah,
by
I think
the way.
We have had him once.
Adingra is one to watch. Yeah. You know, it's been too many times now we've seen him play that he's just.
Could he
too
be the next 40, 50 million one out the door, one of those kind of levels?
There's too much end product too regularly for it to be one of those that might be a Buonanotte or an Inciso looks really good, but is he going to be the real deal? Adingra looks like the real deal. We know that Mitoma is out right now. Yeah. The Japanese winger has been out for a long time. Solly March is out. It's been a similar Adingra season, breakout season.
Yeah.
Another one that they've picked up. And I thought he was the outstanding player. He gets a penalty. João Pedro scores on the save from the goalkeeper, Olsen. But Brighton were good. Villa looked tired. But Villa have had a great season.
Yeah, brilliant season. And it looks like Champions League football, mate, doesn't it?
I mean, Spurs don't look like they're going to close that gap. What a turnaround
for Unai Emery. Another obsessed manager, mate. Maybe you've got to be obsessed if you're going to be a manager.
I think so. Nowadays. Yeah, I mean, we watched on the sideline today.
He's from a different planet, isn't he? He looks a bit... Bless him, we love Unai Emery and the work he's doing. Listen, the big other story in the Premier League has been the relegation fight, Rob. And let's concentrate on that area of the pitch, man. So Sheffield United already down, we're hosting Nottingham Forest. It's Forest who we know have had all kinds of stuff going on with points deductions, with Clattenburg, with PGOML and Clattenburg retiring. I mean, I said it's about time Forest focused on the football pitch and got the job done. They did in the end, didn't they, the weekend?
They did. Gosh, I feel like we should link this with the Luton game that was on the Friday.
Yeah. We
watched the Luton game.
Luton on Friday was the first game, wasn't it? Against Everton.
At Everton at home.
Everton already safe.
Already safe.
Yeah, the Kenny. Friday night.
The lights were there. The fans were there. The atmosphere was there. It was brilliant.
Mm.
And we saw at the end, Rob, it was 1-1.
Yeah.
And the fans gave the manager a standing ovation.
Yeah.
He almost does a lap around to appreciate them, which is great.
Yeah.
And I jumped on the post-game show and I said, He should have done more to win that game.
Mm.
He should have done more. He should have turned up the dial.
Yeah.
Take off a centre-back.
Yeah,
play
with
four at the back. Mm. Bring on another striker earlier. Bring on all his attacking options earlier.
Yeah.
Throw three people in the box. Throw wingers on. Go whatever you can. You can do this stuff.
Mm.
You can do this stuff.
Mm.
It's a time for thinking about risk and reward.
Yeah.
And where they are right now, with that game, Forest going to Sheffield United, and I said it afterwards, with Forest going there the next day, wasn't it?
It was the next day. Yeah.
That you've got to go for that.
Mm.
You've got to go for it. Throw people in the box. I remember Pep saying about City when they struggled, we just got to get more people in the box, he said. Mm. It's not complicated.
Yeah.
If you get more people in the box when the ball gets in there, you've got more of a chance of it bumping to, you know, scoring ricochets, knock-ins, being in the right place. And I just wanted Luton to be more proactive, go for it, get more, because you can do that with systems and tactics, you totally can. And I just think they might have missed a trick there. That was a crucial game, just the point. Now with Forest, Rob, back to the Forest game, they're now 3 points clear of them. They have a much better goal difference.
So
there's
like
two
four
games
points
left
in it,
they've got to make
left,
up four
yeah.
points.
I mean, I gotta be honest, I wouldn't say disagreed. I took another line where I said, you know, and I was thinking about, we were, and this is how I was looking at, we were at the Churchill Downs, the sun's out, there's all sights going on, and we're saying, oh, come on, Rob Edwards, go for it. And I'm thinking, hold on, let me be Rob Edwards at the Kenny with a point against Everton before teams play, don't know what's going to happen, and just hear me out, and I'm just thinking, like, yes, I do agree with what you're saying in the main, but I'm just thinking, sometimes, Rob, as a manager, I'm also thinking, I don't want to lose this 2-1. And I know, listen, I understand your point, but I'm trying to say you've got to understand maybe where I'm saying Rob Edwards might be coming from. And I know it's risk and reward, But people stay up. Aston Villa stayed in the Premier League by a point against Bournemouth.
Well, they might have done. If they'd have won the game, they could have. Exactly, but if they'd have got a point
and, say, Forest lost, they'd have been in a better place.
But Sheffield United lost 25 games up to that point. It's like you've got to think that
I hear you. And listen, I'm not disagreeing, I'm saying you're right.
Forest are probably going to get... They might get points back as well. Another reason for Luton to really go for it.
So let's just also... Let me ask you a question, and I'm not to put you on the point, but does Robert, because people probably think or thought that Luton would go down, and you saw the Rob Edwards sort of, you know, the appreciation of what he's done, and then he's had a brilliant go.
And I know you're not saying it's been incredible, it's a incredible story,
but in some ways, if that was Everton playing there and they drew 1-1, would what I'm trying to say is there's a difference because it's Luton and people are going, oh, well, Luton were probably going to go down anyway. So does it make managing that situation different?
Well,
Do you know what I'm trying to say? Yeah, I hear you, but...
Our job is to kind of bring something that fans might think, ah, actually, yeah, he might have done that. And it's very easy to see those pictures. Yeah. And everybody at home, the neutrals, will say, wow, Luton Town. And what above is above this conversation is that it is amazing. They got they'll have a tiny budget and it'll be an incredible story.
Yeah.
And I get all that, and I'm totally on board with that.
Yeah.
But just as one man that can tactically change something in a game like that, that's my point. That was all my point. Yeah. He'll stay at that club. If he goes down, he should absolutely stay, and they have a great chance of bringing him back. But just the one point doesn't mean to say anything bad about what he's done there.
But the only thing I would say, Berry had an overhead kicked off the line. Somebody had a shot. Townsend had a shot at the edge of the box. Braithwaite kicked it off. And he had a corner that didn't get laid on. I mean, they were going for it. It wasn't that they weren't going for it, but they just didn't get the goal.
I just thought they could have done a little bit more.
It's a point well made, and maybe Rob Edwards might be looking at things and thinking,
should I? Because
of the weekend we've had. So that was Nottingham Forest beating Sheffield United. That was Luton drawing with Everton. Burnley was the other one, Rob, that we talked about down at that bottom three. And they were facing an informed Newcastle, a Newcastle that had Callum Wilson and Isak. And Burnley just didn't really turn up.
It was just a tough
too
game.
Much, wasn't it? They were just too good for them.
I know we talked about it with the record set and stuff about there's a bit of momentum at Burnley.
Yeah, they're playing decent football and they look like the one.
But it's a tough game to try and keep that going. Yeah. And they just haven't been good enough, have they, really? And I think that result there, I mean, they're not going to... I mean, that's five points. Miracle time now, and I don't think it's going to happen. And just summarising, Rob, you know, we kind of thought that the three that got promoted might struggle a little bit, and this pivotal weekend
looks like a three-point gap to Forest,
with the potential of getting points back this next week, by the way, Tuesday or Wednesday, I think we're going to hear that. That looks difficult now for those three to escape. Well, certainly for Luton Town to escape.
Absolutely, mate.
All right, what we've got left? We've got not much left. We've got Brentford and Fulham 0-0. Not much to play for. Enough said. Yeah.
Point each. Listen, mate, what a great weekend.
I want to chuck something else in.
Oh, here we go.
Maybe you were going to chuck it in.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Our great friend.
Yeah. We miss of us not to mention that. Our great friend Tim Howard was inducted into the 2024 US National Hall of Fame. We saw some great pictures. If you get a chance, go on YouTube or Peacock and watch Tim being inducted. I've got to tell you, a world-class speech. I mean, world-class, up there with Oscar-nominated speech.
Yeah, it was
where
wonderful.
He talked about his life growing up, his parents.
His influences,
his coaches he's worked with, his wife, his partner now, his children. And couldn't happen to a nicer, more honest, more transparent man who's not had it always easy, has played one of the best games in international football history. Played in a World Cup. And actually, the greatest thing is, say, a good friend of ours who has been on the show many times and is an absolute pleasure to work with.
And had a brilliant career.
Cool.
To be that good for so long at a club like Everton.
Everton and Manchester United. Yeah, Sir Alex Ferguson to pick you out at Manchester United. Yeah. I mean, that tells you everything you need to know.
Yeah, and some of the... It's out there and you can find it on YouTube. But the way that he goes through and thanks everybody that's influenced him... The World piece class. About his mum was like, oh, we heard it. It's kind of emotional. Mm. And my goodness, and some lessons in there, by the way.
Absolutely.
Some strong lessons in there.
For anybody who thinks, and anyone who thinks, you know, playing at the top of the game and earning so many thousands of pounds, it comes easy.
It shows it's not.
Listen to Tim Howard. So congratulations, Tim.
Absolutely.
And Amy Rosenfield, that's just mentioned.
Oh, Amy Rosenfield. Yeah. So she helped me be where I am today.
Yeah, she's a producer now at NBC, works on the Olympics, but it's a big part of the growth of US soccer and the production of it.
She picked me out to work in for ESPN stuff that I did.
She's the one to blame, is she?
Yeah, she is. Yeah, World Cups and,
no,
and big stuff.
Congratulations,
like that.
She's
a star.
Well done to Amy as well.
Star.
Listen, mate, we're going to wrap it up on a week that was a combination of the Kentucky Derby and the Premier League. Let's not forget we enjoyed a mint julep or two, didn't we, down in Titterfield Downs? At the top of the league, Arsenal and Man City both win this weekend. At the bottom of the league, Burnley lose. They're going to make it difficult to stay up now, and Luton Town didn't get a win. We'll be back next weekend for another big week of Premier League action. Manchester City travel to Fulham. Manchester United host Arsenal, and Liverpool take on Aston Villa. But for now, I'm Earl. He's Musty, together with the two Robbies. Thanks for watching and listening. Be safe, stay healthy. It's a good night from me.
And it's good night from him.
Good night.
With Memorial Day savings at the Home Depot, you can give your lawn or garden beds a pop of color and protection. Right now, get a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10. Help your soil retain moisture longer with color that lasts up to 12 months. Shop Memorial Day savings for a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.